Marty in the Morning on RTE Lyric FM with Spry Finance. Keep living the life you love.
So take it for a bus or a plane. Sing the songwriter, heading for home. Staying just ahead of the game. Ahead of the game.
It's Marty in Dublin. I'm not seeing you, but I am hearing you.
All right, that's well. Then you're not missing much.
I don't think that's fair. I've seen you over the years. Listen, I was one of the people who saw you at the National Stadium 100 years ago with Dire Straits. So I've been there for over the years. So it's lovely to talk to you today.
Nice to talk to you too, Marty. How are things over there?
Things are good, my friend. Things are good, and all the better knowing that we have a brand new album to enjoy, and we have your music to enjoy, because it's lovely that you keep making the albums, and the fact that it's and the quality of them is just beautiful. This one, Deep River, is wonderful.
So nice of you to say.
Well, and I mean it too. But of course, it's Newcastle. It's all about the old river, isn't it?
Well. You know, it becomes a symbol, you know, especially with my young life, that it was, you know, that's when you're leaving for London and you have to cross it, as you know, and you have to cross it coming back as well. So it's always a moment. It's always the same moment. I always go to the end of the carriage, you know, and just to see that little bit of a crossing. And It's something I've done since I was a young shaver.
It's lovely. That's a lovely image that you paint. But you see, I think that's one of the great things about the music that we've enjoyed from you over the years. You're painting pictures clearly with that wonderful guitar playing, but the stories, because you're a reader, you were a lecturer, you're a guy who reads books. You know, I'm going back now to Sailing to Philadelphia and all the rest of it. So
well, I'll read a couple of books, Marty. I mean, you know, I can't keep up with the serious readers, but yeah. Sometimes I've got a book on the go, and if I do, occasionally it crashes into something else that I'm doing, and I find an idea for a song. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's worked so well, so beautifully over the years. One of the other tracks, and that's Sailing to Philadelphia, which is close to my heart, of course, with James Taylor.
Yes, and. The Philadelphia thing was, well, I was flying over Philadelphia and flying into it, into Philadelphia, and it was seeing this, looking out the window and seeing this massive conurbation and chemical plants and ships parking up and motorways with, you know, loads and loads of cars on them. And I was thinking, it's only 15 minutes since Mason and Dixon came over here on a barge from the West Coast. Of England, and you know, and it's only 5 minutes. It really, in historical time, it's astonishing what's happened. And anyway, I happened to be reading the book. The book was just sitting on my lap.
Brilliant.
Mason and Dixon.
Yeah.
And I started thinking, well, maybe I could do the Dixon part because he was the Geordie. And then James's voice kept coming to me. As you know, Charlie Mason, and it was a bit like casting for a film.
I am Jeremiah Dixon, I am a Geordie boy. Glass of wine with you, sir, and the ladies I'm enjoy. Old Durham and Northumberland is measured up by my own hand. It was my fate from birth to make my mark upon the earth.
He calls me Charlie Mason, stargazer am I. It seems that I was born to chart the evening sky. They'd cut me out for baking bread, but I had other dreams instead. This baker's boy from the West Country would join the Royal Society. society. We are sailing to Philadelphia, a world away from the coldy time. Sailing to Philadelphia to draw the line, the Mason-Dixon line.
One of the tracks on One Deep River is very interesting. It's your black tie jobs, and one of the things that I've always liked about what you do, apart again from the obvious guitar playing, which is stunning, is your use of strings. You like to use strings from time to time and to bring in all sorts of elements.
That was just a nice bit of playing by Guy, really. I mean, we sometimes, occasionally, although we do like to use the real thing, but occasionally, just a keyboard sound seems to do something different, seems to do something more apt. And it's a wonderful relationship that we have with each other, in the sense that, you know, that when the band's playing, you don't march over and ask somebody what they're doing, what they think they're playing at.
Sure.
You know, it's not like that. Everybody just slips into their corner, and it's a wonderful thing when you get great people playing together like that. It's everybody's listening to each other. Yeah.
Sure, but again, I suspect you have to have great confidence in them, that they know this is a Mark Knopfler moment, and they know what to do. And of course, you with Guy, you go back so far.
We do. We go back right back into the Dire Straits days, and
yeah.
We've never had an argument. I mean, we've never had a bad day, and because it just seems, we can go in, the two of us, if there's no band around, if it's not a band session fixed, we can nip in there, the two of us, and we can have a start, or we can have a try at laying out a song. And nobody's making any grand promises, because when the band comes in, they can obliterate everything that we've done quite quickly. I mean, just do something better. But it's a great time, and I love all of it. I mean, I love being in with Guy, just with Guy, and it's like being in your favorite, playing with your favorite toy box, you know?
Yeah.
And but I have to admit that the thrill of the band, I mean, when you can afford it and everybody's together, and there's nothing like it. And of course, I don't go around telling people what to do. This is the myth would be, I suppose, that you're instructing everybody. Now you'll find this, and then it'll go to there, and then you've all got to do this. There's nothing like that. People are capable of, it'd be like a director. You'd be like directing great actors in a film. The last thing you would do, it would seem to me, would be to be, now I want you to go over to the window and lean on the windowsill. And you don't do that.
Yeah.
I've never done it, but I'm sure you don't.
Yeah. No, this is a much better way, as I say, it evolves. By the way, it's quite a few years since the last album.
Yeah, because I think there was, we had a couple of hold-ups, Marty, but there was...
Did you notice that?
There was the pandemic. You may have noticed. And
staying in, all that, yes.
Yes, and I had COVID 3 times. I suppose...
Did you?
The first time wasn't very nice. It was a bit scary because Kitty and I both had it, and our cat had it as well in the house. But it wasn't a pleasant experience. But we came through it, and I think the last time it was a much reduced.
Sure.
Experience, much reduced threat.
If you've had it that many times, I mean, you must have been affected by it. I hopefully not the long-term thing.
Well, I hope. I mean, I don't know. I seem to have... my playing certainly deteriorated, but I'm looking forward to finding some time to get back into playing a little bit more. Yeah. I certainly didn't feel like it. I felt like getting on my bicycle and riding out to the park and actually at one point you couldn't even sit on the park benches. I remember that. It wasn't great. It wasn't a great time.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I think about the title of an album you made some years ago, which remains one of my favorites, which is Get Lucky. So, hey, that seems appropriate when we think about it now. And of course, that album, when I think of Monteleone, which is one of the greatest songs I think you've written, because of the story and of the man making the guitars and all of that, and it's just a fabulous album, and it's still for me one of your finest works.
Thank you very much. The Monteleone song was, you know, it's a funny thing. Because with John Monteleone, he would sign off his emails to me with "the chisels are calling and it's time to make sawdust" and stuff. So I turned them into lines for the song.
I know.
He's what you'd call a modern... current Stradivari. He's actually making the very finest acoustic instruments, but it's a whole other level. It's like a ridiculous level of craftsmanship, which actually parallels the great violin makers in Cremona years ago. These New York makers just became very famous. And what concerned me was the fact that John Monteleone was an apprentice to another great maker, as they all were, but that John himself doesn't have an apprentice because he's never been able to find one. And I don't know whether there are kids today, you know, who have the mental makeup. John actually... he engraves, believe this or not, John actually engraves his name into every instrument he makes, but he does it by hand. He hasn't got a stamp or a marker. And I said to him, John, why don't you just, for heaven's sake, man, why don't you just have a little, you know, like a little cookie cutter thing for your name?
Yeah.
And he said, oh, it wouldn't vibrate otherwise.
Wow. He's just so embodied in the whole thing. It's just so special. And I also love the fact that when you wrote that song, and it's that the Italian flavor that's in it is so beautiful.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Actually, you know, he listens to the wood is what he does. So he's always tapping the wood up by his ear. And one day a little package came through the post and it was a beautiful piece of maple cut in the shape of one of his mandolins, and it was about half an inch thick of his wood, and he'd made it because it wasn't, when he was knocking, tapping it to listen to it, it obviously wasn't responding, so he just made it into a cheese board and sent it to me.
Oh, how special is that?
A Monteleone cheese board.
It's almost sacrilegious.
Chisels are calling. accept a sin until the only in you, one and only, will be. Until the only in you, one and only, will be. The rain on the window, the snow on the gravel, the seasons go by to the songs in the wood.
Speaking of which, I take it you didn't sell on or give away in your great auction the John Mantaglione guitar.
No. That was Isabella, named after one of our eldest daughters.
Yes.
No. I kept a few little canny guitars back, you know, that I just couldn't do without.
But you had so many.
I know, I'm sorry about that, but what happened, I didn't think of myself as a collector, really, honestly, I didn't. It's just, you'd get a guitar to do something, and then, you know, if you'd be playing it, and then you say, well, I need a nylon string, I need a classical guitar to try and have a go at this, or I need a this or a that, and I need a 12-string or something. I still don't even think I have a 12-string. I certainly don't have one left after the sale. And then sometimes, so you become a half collector.
Yes.
Half baked collector. And you don't, but I've never thought of myself as being a collector. And now after the sale, I certainly can't think of myself as
a collector. No, and you gave so many away. And of course, there's a charitable element involved in that too.
Yes, it's a big chunk of that will go to. Well, they said you can mention three charities, so it's just been a privilege to have given me, you know, the music's given me the opportunity to take part in a few of these things. You know, it's like the teenage cancer thing. The teenage cancer thing just gave me a circular moment, like just what you call a circular moment, because I think about 30 years ago, we paid for the first teenage cancer unit in Middlesex Trust, and then it moved to University College, and it's still there. And then the other day, I was up in Newcastle to visit the ward up there, and the staff and the kids in the ward there, and for the match, it was launched. The record was launched at the match, which we won 3-0, and what a lovely day that was.
Yes.
But I'll tell you just a little story about that. There was a young teenage girl telling me that she had to be carried into that ward, At one point, she spent 6 months in there every day. And she walked out. But the fact that she walked out, well, was the best thing I'd heard.
Well, isn't it an amazing privilege to be able to do what you've done, to be able to make that difference?
Oh, it's something else. It's something other. It really is something other. To actually pay for a ward. I mean, I couldn't believe it back then. And I said, oh, well. And then, of course, Roger Daltrey and Pete Townsend have carried the thing for magnificently. And in fact, when we were doing the record in my studio, British Grove, we started doing a version of Going Home from Local Hero, because that was also a bit of a theme tune up there in Newcastle, as everybody knows. So anyway, Pete was the first through the door with a guitar and an amp, and these magnificent chords started to echo through the rooms of British Grove, and we started recording on our version, and then Eric Clapton was next in, I think, and then Jeff Beck put a great part on, a stunning, stunning part on, then Dave Gilmour was next, and it just went on and on like that. So I'd come in after a day or two out, and Guy would be wrestling with more stuff coming in all the time from the organizers. It would be Bruce Springsteen, and it would be Joe Bonamassa. There would be, and it was just an endless. And I don't want to miss anybody out, because the offerings from people, the contributions were just outstanding. So, so it was an embarrassment of riches that we had a Ringo and Zach playing drums on it. And the feel was tremendous. And Sting came and played a great bass on it. And Sam Fender was on it, doing all sorts of good things. And you name it. So it was a joy to be a part of it, really. But and a magnificent job by Guy. But I said, Guy, look, listen, this thing is going to go from here to Birmingham. If you're not careful, we're going to have to make some cuts. And he, of course, was very conscious of that. And so there are two versions. There's a marathon version that if you're a sucker for punishment, you can always put that on.
No bother.
There's a version. There's also a version that you can play on the radio.
Oh, right? Sure.
It's been played on the radio a lot.
But like I say, there's the difference. That's an amazing thing to be able to do something like this, and for it to come together around this piece of work. I just think it's a wonderful thing. I really do. Thank you. Listen, are we? Can I ask you a question? Are you going to tour the album One Deep River? Are you going to? Are you going to get on the road?
No, I don't think so. I think it's time. It's time for me to, you know, to be a songwriter and and write the songs and just go in the studio and try and make them, and to quit the, you know, the globetrotting. I think it's only fair to the family, and it's I think that's what I'd like to be able to try to do a song and try to make a record of it.
And as part of that, because of the COVID thing, as part of that, that your mindset has altered a bit.
I think it may have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It may have. I think you could be right. I hadn't actually thought of that.
And you have your big birthday coming up this year.
Yeah, yeah. 75.
Yeah.
I think it's funny, you know, all of a sudden you turn around and you're the oldest surfer on the beach, you know. It's
sure.
And it just seems to happen.
Yeah.
It seems to happen just by itself. You know what? I remember when I was at school and waiting for double physics to finish. You know, it seemed like wait until the end of the world. But now life goes flashing by. I mean, Kitty said the last 30 years has gone by in a flash.
Well, anyway, it has to be said. Well, with all that in mind, you still became a doctor, so you can look at it on that sort of positive end, can't you?
Hardly.
Oh, well, you know what I mean. Anyway, if there's one song I always think sums you up and your playing and what we were talking about today, it's a great song called What It Is, and I just love that song. It's my son's favourite, and I'm going to play it today one way or the other. Mark Knopfler, you're a joy. Thank you so much for talking to us today.
Thank you so much, Marty. Real joy talking to you.
Real pleasure. Keep the faith. God bless you.
Staggering in a square, there's lads' glasses falling about and a crackling in the air. Then around the dungeon doors, the shutters and the queues, everybody's looking for somebody's arms to fall into. It's what it is. It's what it is now. Here's frost on the graves and the monuments, but the taverns are warm in town. People curse the government and shovel hard food down. Lights are out in City Hall, the castle and the keep. Moon shines down upon it all, the legless and the sleepless. Cold on the toll gate where the wagon's creeping through. Cold on the toll gate, God knows what I can do. That's what it is. Gavison sleeps in the citadel with the ghosts and the ancient stones. High on the parapet, a Scottish piper stands alone. High on the wind, a Highland runs maybe the road. Something from the past just comes and stares into my soul. Cold on a toll gate with a Caledonian moon. Cold on a toll gate, God knows what I can do with you. It's what it is. It's what it is. Songs in a wee wee house on Charlotte Street. I take a walking stick from my hotel. The ghost of Dirty Dick is still in search of Little Nell. It's what it is. It's what it is now. It's what it is. What it is now.
all have songs you share with our children. That's my son Tom and myself. That's our, I think it's our favourite, funnily enough.